now I do have quite a bit of SEO knowledge that I am able to do stuff for a lot cheaper. Saying that it's expensive, like that couldn't be farther from the truth. Last quarter, our cost per deal for SEO was like $400.
Real estate is about freedom, choice freedom, time freedom, and money freedom, and the impact you can make with that freedom. But it doesn't come without cost. Your freedom takes work. That's why Neil Timmons brings together the tools you need to build your real estate legacy, from tips and tricks to interviews with industry titans. It's all here in one place. Real Grit. Let's get to it.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Real Grit. I'm Neil Timmons. Hey, I'm excited for today's guest, Christina Kudlak. She virtually wholesales. She works in both the LA market and the Phoenix market. I don't know how in the world one operates in either one, let alone both, given just how hyper-competitive it really is. But she dominates in SEO. I don't know anybody who performs like she does when it comes to SEO. So I'm excited for this conversation. Christina, how are you? Welcome.
Thank you, Neil. That's quite the introduction.
Yeah, well, it's well-deserved. I could say more, I am certain, but we'll leave it at that. But let's tell me this. Life's a journey. Just talk to me from the beginning. How did you even get into this industry?
Yeah. So, you know, I guess like most people, when you think of like, I always knew I was interested in real estate, right? Even from when we were little, my parents were always fixing up houses, and they didn't like flip houses, but the houses that we lived in, they always, you know, they liked remodeling. And then they used to always like drag us to model homes to like just look at houses, right? So that was always kind of ingrained in me from a younger age. But then after college, I knew I wanted to get involved in real estate. So I started studying to get a realtor's license, and really quickly realized that was not what I wanted to do. I didn't want to be a realtor. So I kind of like let go of that plan. But then around the same time, I ended up buying a condo. And this was like right after the market crashed in 08. So I probably bought it in 2010 and got a like dirt cheap, right? Bought it for like $50,000 at that time. And
what market was it in?
This was in Mesa. So in Phoenix. Yeah. And then 5 years later, ended up selling it for more than twice what I bought it for. Wow. And so I was like, wow, this is like, there's something to this, right? Mm-hmm. And so it was actually around the time where I was living in Phoenix the first time around, or I'm born and raised in Phoenix, right? And my boyfriend, now husband at the time, was in LA, and we were long distance dating, and I was going to be moving there, right? So I ended up, I was looking for jobs. At the time, I had like 6 or 7 years of being an executive assistant under my belt. And so I'm like looking for jobs kind of like that. Kept looking, no one ever called me back. I was like applying to all these jobs, and I was just super frustrated one day. And I was at work, and I like broke down in like the work closet crying because like nobody would call me back. And then I remember I kind of collected myself. I like prayed, went back to my desk, ended up picking up like literally within like 5 minutes after that, picked up an ebook, and it was about wholesaling. And I didn't know this is something that you could even do, right?
Nobody talked about it.
Yeah. So I learned about that, and I was like, this is what I'm going to do. So I moved to LA, and that's when I started my business.
What year was that?
This was 2016.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow. All right. So after being no calls back from forever, just trying to get a job, you stumbled across really a completely different industry that for most people on the outside of the business, it's like an invisible business, right? Because they don't have signs in the yard. They're not realtors, and they don't own stuff. So they're not investors who, you know, swing hammers and whatnot.
Right.
It's kind of this hidden little gym, if you will. All right. So you get into, that was the entry point into wholesaling to go to LA. Mm-hmm. And what happens?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then, so I start kind of just finding my way, like took a few courses, gotten involved in like some like investors club and doing deals with people actually in LA and stuff, and started getting my feet wet that way. And yeah, I've tried pretty much every marketing channel along the way, and finally found SEO. And SEO is definitely my favorite of all the marketing channels now. But now it's really kind of evolved into online lead generation. Like that's definitely the best leads in my opinion. And I just, you know, at the beginning of my business and then like what it's kind of evolved into, it's always like, you know, we're always looking for more leads. And that's true. We do need more leads. But with the last few years, I've really just tried to focus on getting better leads as opposed to being busy all the time. I try to kind of run my business in a way where like it just doesn't take my entire time, right? Like I really don't want to be working 24/7, and I'm kind of happy with like what I've built at this point. I don't feel like it's like it's not a 24/7 hustle. You know what I mean?
Yeah. What I hear you saying is that you'd like to have a life, and as a result of that, that means you have chosen to focus on all leads are not created equal. So you've chosen to focus on better leads, which means mm-hmm. fewer leads in order to get a conversion, in order to right. get a deal.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah. 100%. It's a little more methodical working through that. The criticisms of SEO are, you know, it takes too long, costs too much, can't get enough, can't run a business on it, can't sustain it. Part of this, I think, goes into people's lack of patience relative to making a lead channel work.
Yeah.
But what say you relative to the people who would poo-poo SEO, if you will, because you're on the other side. I mean, I'd call you the queen of SEO as it makes in very hyper-competitive markets.
Mm-hmm.
So what's your position on that?
I mean, it is a long-term strategy. If you're trying to, you can't like put up a website and have leads the next day. It absolutely is a more long-term strategy. It's something that, and actually, I mean, depending on how you do it, it can be a very expensive lead channel. But one of the first things that like kind of got me into SEO, I heard somebody say that SEO is the only lead strategy that actually gets cheaper over time.
Mm.
And that was kind of like a light bulb for me. And so when I first started doing SEO, it was, you know, just another lead channel that I was adding to, like we're just doing cold calling, texting, stuff like that.
Right.
And added SEO to it. And it did. It took me at least a year, almost a year and a half to be like number one in LA. And that didn't happen. You know, obviously that's not going to happen overnight before you're actually seeing like consistent leads coming in from it. But the kind of, it was a little bit of a blessing in disguise for me that when I first started, I really didn't have the budget for SEO. You know, most SEO companies that you're looking at, you need $2,500, $3,000 a month before. And that's consistently for a year before you're going to start.
And patience. Yes.
And patience. Right. Mm-hmm. So I just started learning SEO myself and kind of just taught myself. And since I didn't have that big budget, it was all kind of bootstrap. And now, you know, now I do have quite a bit of SEO knowledge that I am able to do stuff for a lot cheaper. Saying that it's expensive, like that couldn't be farther from the truth. Last quarter, our cost per deal for SEO was like $400.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Need more leads? Who doesn't, right? Want access to the vacant home list, absentee owners, tax liens, pre-foreclosures that are all routinely updated? Well, you can get it all in one place. Batchleads.io. Batch Leads gives you nationwide property search, nationwide buyer search, comparable home sales, quick filters, and hundreds of prospect filters to allow you to slice and dice it any which way you wish. Batch Leads is trusted by some of the nation's top real estate investors. And with plans starting as low as $30 a month, there's a lot of bang for the buck. Batch Leads includes unlimited list stacking, so there's never a need to buy another program or figure it out in Excel. They even include discounted skip tracing with every single plan. It's the system my team and I personally use. Use coupon code IMPACT when checking out for 50% off your first month. Batchleads.io, coupon code IMPACT for 50% off your first month. Cost per deal?
Mm-hmm.
Cost per deal.
$400. Not cost per lead, cost per deal.
And I plug into a whole bunch of national things. And I'm telling you, there are markets that, and some of those you're in, but it's not uncommon that I've heard of cost per deal at $4,000 at the end.
Oh, easily.
10x what you're paying.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you, and it did, it's not like these leads came overnight. It's not like I learned this overnight. I mean, this is, you know, four years of beating on my SEO crap, but yeah, that's, you know, it can be cheaper. It doesn't necessarily, but it is, it's certainly not an overnight thing. If you're looking for leads now, SEO is not the It's not the answer.
What's your business look like and your team look like? What's your structure look like today?
Yeah. So it is me. I have an acquisitions manager and she's completely virtual. And then I have my husband. He helps out with a lot of the finance aspects and then helps with our dispositions of properties. And then we have a cold caller and an SEO. She's kind of like my assistant, like at all things SEO. Kind of, yep. And then I actually just hired my sister to help with my social media.
Nice. So, family affair.
Smaller. Yeah, for yeah. sure.
Just because it's smaller doesn't mean it's any less profitable. I mean, at some point, to go off what you said earlier, it's not about work. It's about productivity. Mm-hmm. That's only what we were saying. Is your acquisition person, you said they're virtual, are they US based or not US based?
Yes, she's US based. They're US based. She's one of my sister's good friends.
So. Okay. Mm-hmm. What's culture like in your business?
Yeah, you know what? I think the thing that I've tried to instill more than anything is like a really good work-life balance, right? Like my acquisitions manager, she loves it because she's popping around. Like her boyfriend lives in Florida. She's snowboarding in Flagstaff. So she moved to Flagstaff to be snowboarding. Right now she's like on a road trip in California. So she's just like, you know, we plug in every day and she gets her work done. And as long as people are getting their work done and we're being like, the results are there, yeah. then, you know, I try to be like as fun and collaborative. I think that the biggest thing is like cultivating like just leadership and everybody's like really takes ownership of what their position is. Mm-hmm. And there isn't too much of, I'm certainly not a micromanager. I don't want to like, you know, just be like, trust people to do their job. And I think when you do like give people that trust and show that you believe in them, that people usually rise to the occasion, especially yeah. if you have people with like a really good attitude. Like I would say everyone on our team just has a great attitude. It's not, people are generally optimistic and it's not something where I feel like I'm having to like chase people down to get stuff done.
From a measurement standpoint, it sounds like you've got some KPIs in place that allow you to manage those folks in that kind of style, a little mm-hmm. looser, more of individual leadership. That's what it mm-hmm. sounds like.
Yeah.
What's your meeting structure look like from a day-to-day or week-to-week basis?
Yeah. So we do a daily huddle with my acquisitions mm-hmm. manager and then like a weekly with everyone.
With everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Since you've gotten in the business, what has been the hardest point in your career in the business, or the biggest challenge, the biggest loss, the biggest screw up, whatever, however you want to label that?
Mm-hmm. You know what? I think just the beginning and getting off the ground. It was just myself for the longest time. I've only had an acquisitions manager for about 4 months now, so she's still new. Like, I mean, and she was. She didn't have any real estate experience before. So like teaching her and everything, but before that it was all just me. And I think trying to, you know, you get on this kind of roller coaster of at first, even it was me doing cold calling and you'd get a deal. And so it would take you off the phones. You'd get a few deals and take you off the phones to work them. And then mm-hmm. like, so you just kind of get this like roller coaster of like, I got 3 deals here, but then it's 2 more months before I get another deal. And it's just like, kind of a vicious cycle. So getting out of that, and I think like having a nice padding on my bank account makes me not so like desperate for a deal, right? When I think when you're able to kind of step back and you're not desperate for a deal anymore, and you can like, you know, you can lose a deal without feeling it. That's, you know, getting out of that space has probably been
getting that cash stack for a certain number mm-hmm. of months of cash flow to give you, you know, gives you the completely different confidence in knowing that there's some sort of zen that you're just in and can breathe, and it allows you to level up and focus really more on the business than in the business.
Exactly. Yeah. And so that's probably been being able to get out of that roller coaster and step back and need a deal is everything.
Yeah. What are the non-negotiables in your business? So for you know, when it's a hiring decision that you've got to make, what does that look like for somebody, for you to go, yeah, this absolutely is it, or no, that's the line that we're looking for, people with X, not Y.
Yeah, a great attitude, 100%. Because even I think most of the people, everyone that I've hired didn't necessarily, wasn't an expert on what I was hiring them for, right? Like my cold caller was the first time she was cold calling. She did great. And then the hiring my sister for social media, she's never done social media before. Even my acquisitions manager, she's never done acquisitions before, but everyone has like the right attitude. And that's, I think that's everything. That's something you can't really teach anyone.
Bring me back to SEO. You know, for those who have an interest, want a little more, you know, what's one, two or three things? Where should they start? What should they do?
Yeah.
What should they read? Is there a book? What guidance could you give there?
You know what? The best advice I can, you know, honestly offer for that is Google. Like Google, when we think of what SEO is, SEO is really trying to like rank well on Google. So what does Google say about it? Right. So there's like certain things like what are, you know, what's on page SEO versus off page SEO. I think you could pick up probably any book on SEO. I can't say that I've actually ever read a book on SEO. But let's say you can certainly go to YouTube and say like beginner SEO, right? And so, and then that will get you watching a video. And from there, you're obviously going to have tons of questions, right? Like different terms are going to come up. You're not going to know what it is. So then just go Google that kind of stuff. And then that kind of takes you down these rabbit holes and you learn strategies, you learn do's and don'ts. But yeah, because Google is SEO.
Correct. It is the standard, right?
Yeah,
exactly. Mm-hmm. I keep jumping back and forth. From bringing back to your business, do you only wholesale today?
No, we've done a few flips, and really what we're trying to do more than anything now is find rentals. But Phoenix and LA are just, LA, we don't really have any desire to own rentals there. Phoenix has just been really, really competitive to get something that like the numbers work. So we're actually looking in South Dakota now.
South Dakota?
So that's our
what
big
part?
Rapid City.
Rapid City, South Dakota. Mm-hmm. Okay, cool.
My husband has a lot of family there. So it checks some boxes for us.
What's funny, I'm in Iowa. And so my best friend lives in Sioux Falls. And unless you have some connection to South Dakota, I don't think most people have any concept of how good South Dakota is.
Yeah. I mean, it's great there.
Yeah, it is great. And it's a great market. It's a great market for rentals. We've got some exposure up in Sioux Falls. Yes.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's our big, that's what we need to, it's going to be our biggest goal this year is to just buy rentals there.
No, good for you. So walk me through the goal is, you know, wholesale, that's the cash business, right? That's what feeds mm-hmm. everybody. And then the intent is to shift or not to shift, but to focus and add on a wealth building mm-hmm. strategy of rental properties.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's your goal for 2022? What's it look like for this year for you guys?
I mean, our biggest goal is adding rentals to our plate for sure. Because it was our goal last year, tried to make that be mostly in Phoenix, and Phoenix just really wasn't penciling out. So the end of last year, we kind of re-strategized and we were looking for a different market. And I think South Dakota is that. So adding to our, I do still want to be wholesaling. I like wholesaling, and it is, like you said, like a cash cow, but we need somewhere to put it because like taxes.
That's your tax liability is off the chart. Yeah. Got to get some depreciation in there, right?
Yeah. So that's the main goal.
We'll be right back in 2 minutes, but first a word from our sponsors. Thinking about adding people to your team now or in the next year? New and experienced investors alike are turning to the definitive book on hiring written by yours truly. It's called Unicorn Hunting for Real Estate Investment Companies. How to easily attract, screen, and land a unicorn. It's the complete hiring funnel. This book is a step-by-step process. It includes the secret sauce for attracting more applicants than you'll ever need, the exact resources to use along with screenshots, so it's easy to follow, how to accurately compensate the role and find candidates who will work for 15 to 30% less than the average wage in your home city. P.S. No, we're not shipping the jobs overseas. How to weed out applicants, including the exact word for word my team uses in our own business. Every single email needed for the entire process, it's all included. The screening tools used when interviewing, when to make the job offer. It's so easy that 90% of the work that goes into unicorn hunting can be done by someone else or a VA. This book retails on Amazon for $49.95. But since you listen here to Real Grit, I want to say thanks. I want to give you a free copy. I just ask that you cover the shipping handling. To get your free copy, along with a few valuable bonuses I have not yet even mentioned, go to www.landaunicorn.com. That's www.landaunicorn.com right now to get your free book. Yeah, no. Well, that's absolutely exciting. Tell me, for what you know now, what would you have done differently if you were to get in the business again?
I would have hired people faster. I think at the beginning, I was trying to do it all myself for too long, and I would have hired a lot faster.
Hired faster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The intent being there that you could have scaled. You can put people in the right seats and eliminate that the ebbs and flows associated mm-hmm. with lead generation and productivity and closing and yep. smooth that curve out. Yeah.
Yeah. My other thing would be is just not be afraid to spend money, especially at the beginning. That was kind of like, okay, when I did see that, hey, I could get deals. So if I'm getting SEO deals for, like I said, $400 a deal, right. It made it kind of hard to go and throw money at other things. So I'm like, well, like I have deals here that are so cheap, but not being afraid to spend more money.
So what I hear you saying is a balance in the marketing channels, just relative to additional deal flow. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, going back to really what I heard, the implication of what you said is your core value being there needs to be a balance in your life. Mm-hmm. You cannot be tied. It's not your goal to be tied to the desk, to this business forever.
Right.
Or, yeah. Meaning every hour of every day.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
And that is something that I'm pretty proud that we have done really well.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. How does one get over that? You know, if they're new into this business, they should be spending more. How do they get over that mental hurdle to go? It's easy for you and me and a whole bunch of others when you're at the position we're at to go, I should have spent more because I know I could have done it so much faster because I already know what success looks like because I'm already here. Mm-hmm. How does one get over that mental barrier? Because I possess the exact same thing you did, is going, I just don't know if I should be spending because I don't know if this is going to work out.
Yeah. Well, I guess it kind of gets down to knowing your numbers and your KPIs and seeing like, okay, if this is, you know, really paying attention to the money that you have spent and what is actually converting, what is making a difference, and being very clear on that. And once you are, then putting more money to it.
Yeah.
So things that are moving the needle.
That's a good point. So, you know, when you and I talk to other folks and they're spending $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 on a deal, some of us go, that's insane. I couldn't make those numbers work. And other people like them going, I can make those numbers work. $4,000 mm-hmm. deal, still cash flow, still makes it work in my world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Still okay. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Knowing your numbers, very critical, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Let's move on to our final segment, what I call four for impact.
Four for impact.
Your favorite quote, you read it to me. I'm going to read it here because I have it all written down.
It's a long one.
It's a long one. Yeah, I know. That's why I'm going to read it. It's very, very good. People are often unreasonable and self-centered. Forgive them anyway. If you're kind, people may accuse you of ulterior motives. Be kind anyway. If you are successful, you will win some false friends and some true enemies. Succeed anyway. If you're honest, people may cheat you. Be honest anyway. What you spend years building, people can destroy overnight. Build anyway. If you find serenity and happiness, they may be jealous. Be happy anyway. The good you do today will often be forgotten tomorrow. Do good anyway. Give the world the best you have, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. You see it in the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Why is that so impactful in your life?
I think it probably comes back to like, that's a good question. Why is that? Because I think sometimes we can get really wrapped up in like external stuff of what's happening, like whether from other people oftentimes, right? Like if you feel like someone did you wrong, or you did feel like you have friction in some other places because of other people, and just kind of getting back to, I don't know. I think that everybody's on their own journey, right? Just because somebody wrongs you doesn't necessarily mean, you know, they're out to get you or anything. It's just like, we're all having our own walk with, I see it as our own walk with God. And when we have that, it gives us a lot more stability and doesn't let us just be so influenced by all of these outside factors that are going on, right? Just like stay your course.
It seems to me you're a person who's very centered. And you know, it's not really the extremes in one's life, but very, very centered. I suspect people rely on you in your life.
Is that fair to say? So, yeah. I think so.
Where does that come from? I mean, have you always been like that?
No, definitely not. I think just kind of getting, and I'm probably not the most confident person in a lot of other aspects of my life, but I think I do have such a confidence in, I don't know, that everything is always going to like turn out okay. Because like, you know, when you look back on your life and you're like, man, there's some shit that happened that you're like, at the time that felt like, oh, my world is ending kind of a thing, but you always get past it.
Right.
And yeah, I think like just thinking of that and having that confidence that things always do work out for the best it makes me like confident in at least my life, if not like every aspect of it, but just like, kind of a centeredness.
That's very cool. My next question is, what do you think holds most investors back from hitting their personal next level?
I think it always gets down to our habits, right? Yeah. The different kinds of stuff that we let ourselves consume every day, the different kinds of stuff, like, you know, from a technology standpoint, from a, like, you know, reading the news kinds of stuff like that, all these kind of trash that we let into that kind of can deter us from doing the little things that we need to do, like exercising and eating well, all these things that like can really that affect our well-being and affect our ability to be able to show up as the best person possible. I think
habits define us.
Mm-hmm. It's always our habits.
That we all have the same number of hours in the day, right? But the average versus the Elon Musk and immediately comes to mind, but the ultra successful don't share the same habits.
Right.
Right.
100%.
Yeah. Outside of real estate, what are you most passionate about?
I've just recently, lately, for the last like year, I've just found myself being so tired all the time. So tired. And so, it's just like constantly have this fatigue over me, waking up tired kind of a thing. And so lately it really has all been about just like really cleaning up my diet and trying to, like, I've been doing lots of food testing on myself food sensitivity kind of stuff to dial in, like, what is like how to thrive in my best self. So I really like, we do lots of hiking here in Arizona and just traveling. The last few years have been hard from COVID, but usually me and my husband, I mean, we take at least like 2 international trips a year. So we really love traveling. We recently got a dog. So I like spending time with my dog.
Nice.
Yeah. Stuff like that.
What's your favorite way to make an impact in your community? Or how about in any community? It could be our real estate community. How about just a community, however you define it?
Yeah. I think just like pouring into others. I think one of the cool things is just being able to give without getting any expectation of what you're going to get back from it. So just being able to be an open book and share with other people what you know and what has impacted you to hopefully impact other people. But like in my community, I guess the biggest thing that I do is volunteer with like Boys and Girls Club. I have a little, so that would probably be like, just like finding other ways to like mentor people.
My brother did that for a number of years, and it seems to me that it really gives you a very different perspective, and it's as much about what they get out of it as what you get out of it, because it's very humbling.
It is. And just being able to, I don't know, just pour into someone that and try to change at least maybe the way they think about some things, right?
So much of it is mental, is it not?
Everything
is mental.
It is. It's all a mental game. That's why like your habits are so affected by, you know, what you're consuming and what you're allowing yourself to.
Yeah. What you let in, mm-hmm. and then how you process it and how that manifests then from an action standpoint.
Exactly.
Yeah. If people want to follow you, connect with you, where can they find you?
Yeah, you can find me. I'm on Instagram, Christina Kublock. And then I'm on Facebook. You can also email me. It's christina.kudlak@gmail.com.
Cool. We'll make sure to put the links there in the show notes. I sincerely appreciate you taking that time to connect up here. It's a really interesting story. I love hearing about how people get in from, you know, all of us come from essentially nothing. How we all started from ground zero in the real estate space, and how what you thought would be the entry point as a real estate agent turned out not to be. And, you know, some number of years later, you found the correct entry point for you. Mm-hmm. And about how in the end, you're exactly where you're supposed to be.
Yeah, it's cool.
Yeah, it's exciting. Well, thanks a ton again for connecting up here. For everybody here at Real Grit, I'm Neil Timmons reminding you that real estate requires real grit. I'll see you next time.
Thanks, Neil.
If you like our content and want more, you can access it at realgritpodcast.com. You hear it guest after guest. Instinctively, you already know it. But let me call it out. The most expensive action is inaction. The real estate market is full of opportunities. You just need to uncover them. You can build a business that lasts for years, makes monumental impact in the lives of those that you love. It's not just about business, but about the freedom you get because of it. Have you ever heard the saying, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. I believe that partnering is essential. In fact, I partner with hardworking investors all the time. The point is that you can get a lot further with the right partner. Let me say it again, the right partner. If you've ever thought about partnering with anyone, or if you have a partner now, I encourage you to download my free Partner and Profit Guide, which includes the top 5 must answer questions to evaluate a profitable partnership. You can find it at www.legacyimpactpartners.com. I'll see you in the next episode.